Have a great time in your class. Learn stuff. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And while they are on their way out, the rest of us are going to be in Genesis chapter 7. We're continuing our verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible. Currently, we are in the book of Genesis. We're going to be reading verses 1 through 16, and the message is entitled, "The Door is Open for Now." The door is open for now. Chapter 7, verse 1. "Then the Lord said to Noah, 'Come into the ark, you and all your household, because I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. You shall take with you 7 each of every clean animal, a male and his female, 2 each of animals that are unclean, a male and his female, also 7 each of birds of the air, male and female, to keep the species alive on the face of all the earth. For after 7 more days, I will cause it to rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. I will destroy from the face of the earth all living things that I have made.' And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. Noah was 600 years old when the floodwaters were on the earth. So Noah with his sons, his wife, and his sons' wives went into the ark because of the waters of the flood, of clean animals, of animals that are unclean, of birds, and everything that creeps on the earth. 2 by 2, they went into the ark to Noah, male and female, as God had commanded Noah. It came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were on the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the 2nd month, on the 17th day of the month, on that day all the fountains of the great deep were broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. And the rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. On the very same day, Noah and Noah's sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and Noah's wife, and the 3 wives of his sons with them entered the ark. They and every beast after its kind, all cattle after their kind, every creeping thing that creeps on the earth after its kind, every bird after its kind, and every bird of every sort. And they went into the ark to Noah, 2 by 2, of all flesh which is on the breath of the earth. So those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him, and the Lord shut him in." So again, the door is open for now. How long, by the way, did it take Noah to build the ark? Who remembers? Say it loudly. 120 years. Can you imagine if Noah tried to build the ark today with all the governmental red tape? I'd like to read to you a true story. The Lord spoke to Noah and said, "In 120 years, I am going to make it rain and cover the whole earth with water until all is destroyed. But I want to save your righteous family and 2 of every kind of living thing on the earth. Therefore, I command you to build an ark." Well, in a flash of lightning, God delivered the blueprints for the ark. Fearful and trembling, Noah took the plans. He agreed to build it. "Remember," said the Lord, "you must complete the ark and bring everything aboard in 120 years. Well, 120 years later, fierce storm clouds began to form. But the Lord saw Noah sitting on his front yard weeping. "Noah," he shouted, "where's the ark?" "Oh, Lord, please forgive me," cried Noah. "I did my best, but there were big problems. First, I had to get a permit for construction, and your plans did not comply with code enforcement. I had to hire an engineering firm to redraw the plans. Then I got into a fight with OSHA over whether or not the ark needed a fire sprinkler system and flotation devices. Then my neighbors objected, claiming I was violating zoning ordinances by building an ark on my front yard. So I had to get a variance from the city planning commission. I had problems getting enough wood for the ark because there was a ban on cutting trees to protect the spotted barn owl. I finally convinced the U.S. Forest Service that I needed the wood to save the owls. However, the Fish and Wildlife Service won't let me catch any owls, so no owls. The carpenters formed a union and went on strike. I had to negotiate a settlement with the labor or the National Labor Union. Now I have 16 carpenters, but still no owls. When I started rounding up the other animals, I got sued by the animal rights group PETA. They claimed that the stalls on the ark would cause cruelty to the animals. Well, just when I got the lawsuit dismissed, the EPA notified me that I could not complete the ark without filing an environmental impact study on your proposed flood. They were highly offended when I suggested that they had no jurisdiction over the creator of the universe. Then the Army Corps of Engineers demanded a map of the proposed new floodplain. I sent them a globe. Then the Equal Opportunity Commission filed an injunction claiming that I'm practicing discrimination by not taking godless unbelievers aboard the ark. The IRS seized my assets, claiming that I'm building an ark to prepare to flee the country to avoid paying taxes. I just got a notice from the state that I owe some kind of user tax because I failed to register the ark as a recreational watercraft. Finally, the ACLU, they got the courts to issue an injunction against further construction of the ark, saying that since God is flooding the earth, the flood is therefore a religious event, and therefore it's unconstitutional. I really don't think I can finish the ark for another 120 years, Noah said. At that point, the sky began to clear. The sun began to shine. A rainbow arched across the sky. Noah looked up hopefully and said, God, does this mean that you're not going to destroy the earth? No, said the Lord sadly. The government already has. Hey. No. Seriously, it wasn't the government of Noah's day that brought about God's wrath. What it boiled down to was sin. Such pervasive sin that threatened to corrupt every human being. And God had no choice but to end it all and start anew. And what moved God to send the flood back then is what will also move God soon to unleash 7 years of tribulation on the earth. And it's sin. Sin. Last time, in fact, it was Wednesday night, we read that the world had become so corrupted by sin that it was ripe for judgment. We read how the sons of God, whoever they were, we don't know for sure, but they took wives of the daughters of men. Their unholy unions, their sexual immorality spawned what appears to be mutant monsters, both in size and also in sin. And the world became so corrupted by that sexual sin, everybody's mindset at that point was bent on evil. Look at chapter 6, verse 5. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, so great that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. This last week, there were at least 2 random shootings in our nation alone. Let alone the untold wickedness that is taking place in dark, dark places. The every intent of the thoughts of people's hearts, only evil continually. You know what? That sounds like we're reading today's headlines, doesn't it? At that time, the corruption again was so pervasive that God had no choice but to wash it all away. Look at verse 7. The Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing, and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I've made them. But there was one person who wasn't corrupted by sin. Notice in verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And we talked a lot about that Wednesday. If you weren't here, you might want to listen to that study, how important it is that we find grace. You can go online to our website. You can pick up a CD copy after the service at the back counter there. But it's so vitally important that we find grace, or else our eternity is lost. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And because he found grace, God then instructed Noah about how to escape the coming judgment. God told Noah to build an ark, a huge rectangular box that would float. That box was roughly 450 feet long, 75 feet wide. Our sanctuary is about 65 feet from wall to wall, so imagine at least another 10 feet wide. 45 feet tall from the floor to the peak of this ceiling, it's 26 feet. So imagine it going up another 20 feet roughly. And this ark had three separate decks within. It was more than ample to house two of every unclean and seven of every clean, air-breathing, land-dwelling creature, plus enough space for food for all of the animals and Noah and his wife, his three sons and their wives, for over a year. So at that point, for the next 120 years, Noah began building an ark. And the building of it was also a method of preaching. He preached with his words, and he preached with his actions. And it's because he had faith. In Hebrews 11, 7, by faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen. By the way, folks, faith is hearing from God and then doing it. Faith is not, I'm going to believe something strong enough to make God give me what I want. That's not faith, that's presumption. That's putting God to a foolish test. So when somebody says, I'm believing God for a new car, I'm believing God for a new job, I'm believing God for a different husband, when they say that, they're actually not hearing from God what he wants to do. They're telling God what they want. And that's not faith. Faith is hearing from God. Noah, I'm going to destroy the earth. He not only believed it in his mind, he began to faith it out in his actions by building the ark for his salvation, his families, and all of the animals that God would bring. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear. That's what faith is. It moves you. Godly fear. Prepared an ark for the saving of his household by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. According to faith, because he heard God's word and did it. Noah condemned the world through his carpentry by building this thing. For the ark itself declared that when the rains came, those on the outside would be destroyed, but those inside would be saved. Now, in verses 1 through 16, we read, come on in. Not come on down, but come on in. Verse 1. Then the Lord said to Noah, come into the ark. Ooh, wait, where was God at this point? Let me read this again. The Lord said to Noah, come into the ark. He didn't say go into. He said come into the ark. You and all your household, I have seen that you are righteous before me in this generation. Where was God when he called Noah? He was in the ark. Wherever God is, that's where our safety is. That's where our provision is. That's where our protection is. We read in Proverbs 18, verse 10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run, not walk, not meander. No, the righteous run to it and are safe. We run into God. We come to him for salvation, realizing judgment is here. Judgment has come. But if we're in Jesus, we are safe. Now, in order to be spared from judgment, Noah had to go into the ark where God was. That speaks to us of our Lord Jesus. He's the ark. We come into him and we're saved. Also, how many doors were there in that ark? There's only one door. We read about that in chapter 6. There was only one door into the ark. Jesus said, in John chapter 10, verse 9, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. People in the world today are trying to enter into heaven their own way. Spurred on by the band Fleetwood Mac, you can go your own way. Spawned also by Burger King, have it your way, you know. And so the culture that we live in, the world that we live in, thinks that as long as they're sincere, they can go to God however they want, and God will accept them. Sorry. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Does God know who he is? Yes. How dare men and women then tell God who they think he is? I don't believe in a God of judgment. I believe in a God who accepts and tolerates and celebrates everybody. You created a God in your own image. That's idolatry. And there's no place in the kingdom of heaven for idol worshipers. But Jesus has provided the way. He's the door, the one door, and it's open for now. It's open for now. Now, when Noah built this ark, and there was only one door, I'm sure that many people around him complained about there only being one door. I don't like that one door. I'd rather have my own door. But those who insist on approaching God their own way and their own man-made doors are going to find themselves outside, sunken in sin. But those who come into Jesus are going to rise above it all. Verse 2. God tells Noah, you shall take with you seven each of every clean animal, a male and his female, so there's three pairs plus the odd man out of seven clean animals. But then two each of animals that are unclean, unkosher. Apparently God had educated Noah on what is a clean or kosher animal, what is an unclean, unkosher animal. To keep the species alive on the face of the earth. For after seven more days, time is short. Interesting, seven, very significant number, isn't it? Seven more days, I will cause it to rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and I will destroy from the face of the earth all living things that I have made. And wisely, Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. Why the seven clean or kosher animals? Well, later on in chapter 8, Noah offers up one out of every of the seven clean animals as a sacrifice to God. What a bummer to be that seventh animal. The one that didn't have a mate. Oh, sure, you survived the storm, but now you're going to be roasted over an open flame. Bummer for them. But trying to be funny and, of course, failing miserably. The main point of this is that God is now reestablishing with Noah the necessity of a blood sacrifice. The innocent slain on behalf of the guilty. God is holy. Therefore, his holiness demands that he judge sin. Now, we can either try in vain to pay for our own sins, only to find out Ezekiel 10:20 is true, the soul who sins shall die. So we can't pay for our own sins. Or the other option is trust in the one who never sinned. Ephesians 2, verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Grace through faith in Jesus Christ is how we are saved. And by the way, grace is how Noah was saved as well. Genesis 6, 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. He found grace. Have you? Have you found grace? Grace means getting what we don't deserve. God's riches at Christ's expense. Have you found grace? Your eternity depends on it. If there's any question whatsoever, please, after the service, come forward. We would love to pray with you that you might receive Jesus as your Savior and Lord, that you might truly find grace. Verse 6 says, Noah was 600 years old when the floodwaters were on the earth. 600 years. People lived a lot longer before the flood than after the flood, and there are many reasons why. But I'd like to point out that Noah and his, who knows Noah's wife's name? Mrs. Noah, that's right. Noah and Mrs. Noah had three boys, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, when Noah was 500 years old. 500 years old, they start having Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The flood came when he was 600 years old. How long did he spend building the ark? 120 years. That means for 20 years before they had kids, or at least had this generation of Shem, Ham, and Japheth, Noah built the ark without the help from his three boys. They didn't exist yet. They weren't even born. And then when Noah's sons were young, it took them quite a while before they could become helpful. Daddy, I want to help. Just let me do it and I'll get it done quickly. Come on, let me help, you know. Finally, they did become of age where they could really be useful and helpful and help them finish the job. This timeline, to me, really teaches me something. And it's this. It's important that men and women be faithful in their God-given calling before the kids come along. If you're single, fulfill your calling before you're married. And then when you're married but you have no kids, be faithful in the calling that God has put on your life so that when the kids come along, they'll be able to see mommy and daddy being faithful in their calling. And eventually, mom and dad will then bring the kids into their service of Jesus. Let me tell you something. The family that serves Jesus together stays together. You don't have to go wandering for your kids out on the streets if you have been bringing your kids into faithful, fruitful fellowship and service of Jesus and his people. Now, this raises a question. Do you know what your calling is? Did you know every single one of us has a specific call of God? It may take on many different forms, many different types of ministries, but it all boils to the same thing that Noah was faithful in. Number one, prepare yourself and your family from the coming judgment. Number two, preach to others about how they might have a way of escape. And that's what ministry is all about, preparing yourself and helping others be prepared for what's coming next. So do you know your calling? Question number one. If you don't, after the service, if you're a believer and you don't know your calling, please come forward. We will pray with you. And if you'll have a hungry heart to want to know what your calling is, God is going to reveal that to you very soon. Because he loves you and wants you to know the joy of serving him and his people. So if you don't know what your calling is, come forward. If you do know what your calling is, the next question is, are you being faithful? Are you being faithful? Your kids are watching. Other people are watching. They want to know how to serve God, and they're going to see it in you. Now, if at this point you're sensing the Holy Spirit's tugging on your heart, again, after the service, let's come together to pray. Let's fill up this front area here with people that are saying, I want to know my calling. Or I know what my calling is, but I haven't been faithful and I want to repent and I want to do what God has called me to do. Or maybe for some, I don't even know if I found grace, but I want to find it now. Let's fill this place up with people who want to seek God and really reach out for him. If we seek, we'll find. If we ask, it'll be given to us. Seek, we will find. If we knock, the door will be open to us. God promises that. Let's take him up on his promise today. Verse 7, so Noah with his sons, his wife, his sons' wives, went into the ark, because of the waters of the flood, of clean animals, of animals that are unclean, of birds and everything that creeps on the earth. Two by two, they went into the ark, male and female, as God had commanded Noah. Came to pass after 7 days that the waters of the flood were on the earth. Now, in chapter 6, God told Noah that the animals would just come to him, meaning he didn't have to go out and wrangle them and search the ends of the earth to find the animals. And in just 7 days, when God said they're coming, oh boy, did they. And the animals started pouring in, two by two. And then, of course, of the clean, that odd seventh one that would come in as well. In just 7 days. 7 days. It all happened in seven days. Again, seven, very significant number in Scripture. God made the world in 6 days. On the seventh day, he rested. There's going to be 7 years of tribulation, God's wrath against the world very soon. But also, and I might be hyper-spiritualizing way too much, but you know, it's been roughly, give or take, 6,999 years since Adam and Eve. Roughly. 6 millennium days are almost all over. And the 7th millennium is about ready to begin. What will this new millennium day usher in? What might it bring in? I'm hoping it's when the Lord returns for his bride, the church. When that trump of God and the dead in Christ rise first, and we who are alive and remain will be caught up to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we will always be somebody. Say amen. Yeah. So what will this next millennium bring? Don't know. But we do know this. As Noah was brought into the ark, God called him in, then the animals came in. Eventually, God shut the door. And all who were left outside were judged. Right now, the doorway to salvation is wide open. Whosoever will believe in me will not perish but have everlasting life, Jesus said. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, Jesus is beckoning us to come to him, and behind him in his shadow is the empty grave. And even behind that is the blood-stained cross. And so he's beckoning us to come unto him, the one and only Savior. But make no mistake about it, one day that door's going to shut. And all who are then left on the outside are going to suffer tribulation for their refusal to believe in Jesus. And Jesus said in Matthew 24, verse 21, "For then there will be such great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world, until that time, no, nor ever shall be." One last, final, and worst judgment is coming. Today, the door is open, but for how long, I don't know. But it will be shut. It will be shut. Make sure you're in. Verse 11. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, on that day, all the fountains of the great deep were broken up. Subterranean water reservoirs came gushing up. Imagine just these huge, powerful columns of water shooting up from the ground. And in addition to that, and the windows of heaven were opened. Massive water coming up and massive water coming down. Do you remember in Genesis 1 on day 2 of creation, God created the firmament? The firmament was a solid, firm expanse that encapsulated the earth and its atmosphere. And also there was a layer, a canopy of water above the firmament, an insulating canopy of water, which many people believe the reason why people lived so long back then and why lizards grew to be the size of Winnebagos is because that water layer and the firmament filtered out the harmful UV and other cosmic rays that do damage our cells and speed up the dying process. But it could be at the flood of Noah that firmament broke up and the water above came crashing down beneath. So water coming up from above, down from, or up from below, down from above, those outside the ark, there's no escape. No hiding, no place to go. And when Jesus returns to judge the earth, there's no escape, no hiding, nowhere to run, no place to go. Verse 12, the rain was on the earth 40 days and 40 nights. On the very same day, Noah and Noah's sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, Noah's wife, Mrs. Noah, their three wives of his sons with them entered the ark. They and every beast after its kind, all cattle after their kind, every creeping thing that creeps on the earth after its kind, every bird after its kind, every bird of every sort. And they went into the ark to Noah, two by two of all flesh, which is in which is the breath of life, every land-dwelling, air-breathing critter, creature. So those that entered, male and female of all flesh, went in as God had commanded him. And the Lord shut him in. Imagine a massive door creaking on its hinges. What a solemn sound for those inside the ark as they realize, wow, I'm glad I'm in, but oh, woe to the people that are on the outside. Noah found grace in the eyes of God. Noah then walked by faith as he built the ark and preached. You know, if anybody at any time while Noah was building came to Noah and said, you know what, I think you're nuts, but better to be safe than sorry. Tell me about this God that you're building this ark for. If anybody had come to Noah at that time, we would have been reading about another person saved. The doorway is wide open. Jesus says, come to me. He doesn't say, clean yourself up, then come to me. He doesn't say, no, you're too bad of a sinner. Look, if he said to the thief on the cross, to his right-hand side, today you'll be with me in paradise, then I'm sure he'd say the same to anybody, come to me, and one day you'll be with me in paradise. No restrictions. Just come to him. Just believe in him. And if you already have, go tell somebody. Go share your faith with others. So the door shut. Family, Noah and his family and all the animals safe in the ark, but everybody else doomed to destruction. Again, Jesus said, I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. But one day, that door is going to shut. And those that are outside, for them it will be too late. So question again, number one, are you in? Have you come to Jesus? If not, why not today? Today is the day of salvation. Come to him today. If you're already in, then the second question is, are you fulfilling your calling? Which again begs the third question, do you know what your calling is? And if you do, are you fulfilling it? Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day for saved souls to fulfill their calling by doing faithful works of ministry. And so, as I said earlier, if anyone here senses the Holy Spirit tugging on their hearts, you don't know if you found grace, not sure. You don't know what your calling is. Or yeah, you kind of know what your calling is, but you're really not fulfilling it. You've allowed other things to get in the way. Other reasons that you have why you're not fulfilling your calling. Really, do those things matter? Are they so important that it would keep us from fulfilling our calling? Again, if you sense the Spirit is tugging on your heart, let's respond to him. Let's come to that place of communing with him and saying, yes, I want to connect with you, God. I want to receive from you that which you have for me. so that I can go out and be doers of the word, not just a hearer only. And so we're going to pray. And in a moment, I'm going to ask you to respond. Whether it be to find grace by believing in Jesus, or to ask God to reveal the calling, or to pray for repentance. Because you know what your calling is, but you haven't been doing it. So this is a come to Jesus moment. And if we will, man, he's going to fix it all. He's going to make it all right. So are you willing? Shall we pray? Father, we do thank you so much for your word. This that was written so many hundreds, thousands of years ago, yet speaks to us so clearly today. Lord, I have no doubt there are many in this room. They're saved. They know what their calling is, and they are doing it faithfully. And for them, Lord, I pray your spirit be upon them. You keep them doing what they're supposed to do in the power of the Spirit, seeing much fruit as a result of their labors. But Lord, maybe there's someone here today that is not sure whether or not they've really found grace. They don't know whether or not they're in. And that nagging question is in their heart. Or maybe there are other believers who, they don't know what their call is. They go to church, but as far as anything more than that, there's just nothing. And Lord, they're sensing you're speaking to them today, and you have something wonderful for them to do, something to bless others and even to lay up treasures in heaven. And you're willing to and wanting to reveal that today. And then there are others who they know their calling, but they've allowed the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches and desires for other things to choke out the word, and they're not being fruitful. Lord, whatever our condition, you are the cure. Whatever the problem, you're the solution. If we would just come to you and seek your face. And while we're still praying, if you feel the Holy Spirit is tugging on your heart in any one of those areas, and you're saying, yes, God, I want that connection with you now. I want you to do that work in me and through me. Whatever it might be, if you feel God is speaking to you, and you're ready to walk by faith, would you raise your hand up right now? God bless you guys. So many of you being stirred by the Lord to want to just move in that direction of connection with him and seeing his will done in your life. You can put your hands down. Lord, you've seen the hands, but most importantly, you see the hearts. And that's all that matters. You just take a willing heart. You're not looking for ability. You're not looking for people that have it all together. You're just looking for people that would say, here I am, send me. And so, Lord, here we are. Use us. Fill us first with your Spirit, then use us. And may great fruit be born as a result of this morning, of us having this wonderful encounter with you. And us aligning ourselves right with you. Lord, judgment's coming. Thank you, the doorway's open now, but Lord, it's going to be shut soon. Help us to get the word out. The judgment's coming, but today is the day of salvation. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Awesome. Let's stand.